To the Tone and Tenor Show by Parson Voices of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson. Our co-host Pat Edouard is not with us today. Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. Just type in, our Twitter handle is at Tone and Tenor. Our Instagram handle is at Tone and Tenor Radio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Today, our show is dedicated to the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Want to be important? Wonderful. If you want to be recognized, wonderful. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's a new definition of greatness. By giving that definition of greatness, it means that everybody can be great. Because everybody can serve.
Our country, this wonderful place, this little piece of real estate that we call America was built, founded on service. We didn't necessarily wait for local, state, or the national government. We came together as a people and we just did it.
I was one of 4 6-year-old children, girls, to integrate the public school system here in New Orleans in 1960. When I look at the Norman Rockwell painting and I see myself, I always say that the lesson I took away was a lesson that Dr. King tried to teach all of us, and that was that we should never look at a person and judge them by the color of their skin. I crossed a picket line, a mob, every day for a whole year. There was a woman there to greet me. She did everything she could to make my day fun. She not only taught me, but she read stories to me. We played games. I knew that if I got past the mob and inside of the building, I was going to have a great day. And it was because of her. So she showed me her heart. And I began to realize that there was no way she was like the people outside. I couldn't judge her the same way. And so I believe at that moment, I learned the lesson that Dr. King died trying to teach us.
In 1957, when I was 17 years old, I wrote Martin Luther King Jr. a letter, told him I wanted to attend a little college about 10 miles from my home, and this school didn't admit black students. He wrote me back and sent me a round-trip Greyhound bus ticket. I traveled to Montgomery and saw Dr. King standing behind a desk. He said to me, "Are you the boy from Troy? Are you John Lewis?" I was so scared, I didn't know what to say or what to do. And I said, "Dr. King, I'm John Robert Lewis." I gave my whole name. He was so inspiring. He was so moving. And somehow, in some way, I wanted to become part of that movement. and I did.
For a long time, people fought to get the King holiday in, and it finally got achieved nearly 25 years ago, but it was sermons, talks, meetings, lunches, and one day I said to myself, this is wrong. If Martin Luther King were here, you say, that's not what I want on my day. I teamed up with John Lewis in the House and many Republican and Democratic colleagues of mine in the Senate.
We felt that Martin Luther King Jr. was a man of service, and his day, that federal holiday, should be a day of service.
When the Congress passed the legislation, it was sort of like a reading wedding vows, that we were marrying a commitment to serve the common good and to let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. We lost a great soul. He took chances. He lived daringly. He didn't let the fear of harassment or persecution deter his mission. He stayed focused and committed. While he died at a young age, he lived a long life in terms of service and witness. He piled into those 39 years, 100 years or more on service and preaching and loving, caring.
My father said an individual has not started to live until he or she can rise above the narrow confines of his or her individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of humanity. He would certainly applaud the fact that our nation has set aside a day where we can become more other-centered rather than self-centered and really focus on the broader concerns of humanity.
Yes, yes, yes. As I said today, we're focusing on the life and legacy of Martin Luther King. As everyone knows, this is the celebration of Martin Luther King Day. Martin Luther King Day started in August of 1983 with Stevie Wonder and others. The bill was passed in the House 338-90. Despite bipartisan support and support from the Senate leadership, Senator Jesse Helms, Republican from North Carolina, led a bitter opposition to the bill in the Senate, calling Dr. King a communist. Helms circulated negative material in an effort to defeat the bill. Nevertheless, the Senate approved the bill by a vote of 78-22 in October of 1983. The federal legislature challenges America to transform the King holiday into a day of citizen action, of volunteer services and honor. Federal legislation was signed into law by President Bill Clinton on August 23rd, 1994. It was not officially observed in all 50 states until the year 2000 for the first time. The National Martin Luther King Day of Service was started by former Pennsylvania U.S. Senator Harris Wofford and Atlanta Congressman John Lewis. They both co-authored the King Holiday and Service Act. Our topic today is COVID-19, MLK Day, a day on, not a day off. What does that mean? Has progress been made in this country? As we begin this show, we need to express that our COVID numbers, we always have to do that, are on the rise. Hospitalizations on the rise. They are people getting sick that don't know they're sick. The city of Philadelphia has put in a mandate, but now it has postponed it. part of the unions have come to postpone it, calling for all city employees and contractors to be vaccinated. The President of the United States lost a bid in the Supreme Court recently to have all people with 100 or more employees, mandating all employees in companies with 100 or more employees to be vaccinated. Well, as people said, they felt as though he overstepped his ground. The Supreme Court basically felt as though he overstepped his ground. But there was a victory in this. Anyone that that was doing Medicare or serving those in hospitals, or they would have to be vaccinated if they're doing anything dealing with the federal government. As we sit here and we ponder the question, has anything changed? What does that mean? Day on, day off. For some, that's just what it means. It means a day off to go shopping. It means a day off to catch up on things around the house. It does not mean a day for them to be day on to service in the community, especially in those communities in our urban cities that are in dire, dire straits and need. This is one day of the year that, like anything else, the holiday is commercialized. But we have to stop just looking at the one day and begin to service our communities 364 additional days of the year. We cannot let our leadership dictate who we are. Dr. King died trying to make this country better, and we're still arguing over voters' rights. We have not made a progress when you really think about it, because our voting is being dictated by others. It's being dictated by money. That is not what this is supposed to be about. Voters are supposed to be going in there, into the voters' booth. The folks out here should be helping people to understand and educate what it means to be a voter. Not a selector, a voter. Not a follower, but a leader. If you are a leader, you are willing to die for what you believe in. You will take a stance, a real stance, in what you believe in. You will not condone indiscretions. You will fight for what is right day in and day out. We cannot continue in the United States of America the way we are going. I thought about this as I was coming in today to the studio, and I may be dating my age, but there used to be a commercial. An Indian would stand up on top of a hill and look down, and all the trash and everything would be blowing in the wind, and you would see a tear come down his eye. I'm wondering if Dr. King stood at the Lincoln Memorial or in the city of Philadelphia, the birthplace of our nation, how would he perceive what our leaders are doing? Will there be that trickle of a tear coming down his eye? Would he be appeased, or would he be opposed to what some of these black, and I'm saying this, black so-called leaders are doing in our urban cities? We are listening and we are falling into the smoke screens of what's coming about. And the reality is that the importance of one's life is very minimal. There's three branches of government, ladies and gentlemen. Executive branch, legislative branch, and judicial branch. And they go across the municipalities, the state, and the federal government. When you don't have one of those branches working properly, or in the case of some of our judicial leadership, you have politics being played, we are going to continue to have an uptick in murders, an uptick in carjackings, an uptick in criminals. But yet and still, we still have poverty in our urban cities. We still have a lack of affordable housing in our urban cities. And in some cases, we have developers coming into our urban cities unbeknownst to the people that live there, taking over and pushing folks out. Is this the legacy? Is this what Dr. King's dream was all about? I say no. What do you say? When you can sit in a city council area, and I'm calling this to anyone that you're receiving these trinkets, leaderships are receiving these trinkets for allegedly doing their jobs from grassroots organizations, nonprofits. Why? Because these nonprofits want money. When you have a state rep call on the President of the United States to make good on a promise about forgiving college debt, I'm wondering, are some of these legislators still have college debt? And how can you, in your right mind, call and hold the president accountable when you were a president of an organization and you didn't want to be held accountable when I asked the question, where is the money going? Why don't we have meetings? People, I have the email to prove it. So let's not be a leper and try to change your spots. Let's live Dr. King's dream. Let's be honest to everyone, because otherwise we won't be. Let's be honest to yourself. Let's be transparent. Let's be accountable. Let's be credible. And let's have knowledge, because that's the dream. That's what Martin Luther King was about. And as we think about the legacy of Martin Luther King, we're going to hear a clip from the founder of Martin Luther King Day, the late Senator Harris Wofford.
The most moving memory is the first time my wife met Martin and Coretta King. He invited us to hear him at a talk in Baltimore and drive him back with Coretta from Baltimore to Washington, and then to have some talking together. And on the way back, he and I were strategizing about what would Martin Luther King do if he's going to be a leader that's bringing Gandhi and his ideas into America. And we heard in the back seat Coretta saying, "You know, I have a nightmare that at the end of the road that Martin has chosen, he's going to be killed." And that nightmare keeps coming back. And he turned around and said, "Corey, I've told you to stop dreaming that nightmare. That's not the point. I didn't choose this. They asked me to chair the Montgomery bus boycott. They came and asked me, and I said yes." And then he hummed a spiritual. It was something like, "And the Lord came by and asked, and my soul said yes." And of course, we all know that most people serve and take action because somebody asked. And this is a day when we're asking people to do what Martin Luther King would do, to make this holiday the pursuit of the public happiness of governing ourselves. For a long time, people fought to get the King holiday in. I was one of those calling for that. And it finally got achieved nearly 25 years ago. And years had passed, and over the years it had grown, but it was sermons, talks, meetings, lunches. And one day I said to myself, this is wrong. If Martin Luther King were here, you say, that's not what I want on my day. It should be a day on, not a day off.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream.
And to take a nation of millions to hold us back. Brown versus poor, open some doors. Back then, they call all blacks Negroes. We kick it off the top, sort of like Cerebro. Separate is an equal when in practice. My school is a shack, mine is a path. Do I have to sit in the back of the bus? That's swagness. Second class citizen on account of my blackness. They say to change the world, you gotta take a stand. Rosa Parks took a seat, changed the face of the land. Martin had a plan that even if you wanna change the world, that it mean you gotta kill another man. Inspired by the people like the Rural Gandhi, a pacifist in the war without an army, cause they can't harm me no matter how the end seems. I wonder if Mr. King is still having dreams.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB. Today our show is dedicated to the legacy and the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. A day on, not a day off. What does it mean? Has progress been made in our country? As you listen to Dr. King speak, you listen to words of the late Senator Harris Walford, and you have to think about being a servant, having a dream, and making the dream a reality. You heard the young man talk about, it's not a dream about killing. It's about a dream of helping one another. It's about leadership. It's about real leadership. Everyone can call themselves a leader, but are you really a leader? Are you an elected official that's a leader, or are you an elected official that is a follower? Are you really concerned about your fellow man and woman? Are you concerned about those that have fallen on hard times? Or are you concerned about the power which the position brings? If you listen to what many say about Dr. King did not want the glory and the accolades, but there are some of the things that folk live for. And I'm going to say it, black folk live for. They live for that. They live for those accolades. They can't be just go about doing what they need to do and to help a fellow man without saying, see, look what I have done for you. We hold in these closed doors meetings. People are running around here wanting to be elected. People are playing on color. Dr. King says, all men created equal, equality. But now we have in 2021 to 2022, it's called diversity. What does that mean? Who's diverse? Another play on words. And the reality of it is, folks, is that we are still no closer of achieving the goals of what Dr. King, the Freedom Riders, and all that were in the struggle and had the pride to fight for what was right. Are you willing to fight for what's right? Are you willing to help the elderly that are suffering? Are you willing to help the elderly that are being taken advantage of? Are you willing to help the children during COVID-19 and beyond? Throwing money at a problem is not a solution, especially when the money is not accounted for and it's being funneled through other organizations. And then you have leadership saying, oh, we do not have success metrics or goals. We're just giving money. We cannot continue to play on people by giving them money after money. This country, by giving more money, we're holding people back. Dr. King wanted you to move forward, not backwards. So what does that bring us to? That brings us to that there should be a, back in years ago, Dr. King came to Philadelphia, and most people don't understand the connection to Philadelphia. Just outside of Philadelphia, Dr. King attended Crozier Seminary in Chester, Pennsylvania. Dr. King could not even go to a F.W. Woolworth or Kresge's and sit at the same table and have lunch. I know a medical doctor that got fired in the city of Philadelphia. People, I don't care what you say, Philadelphia is a racist city. Undercover. Spots don't, and lepers don't change their spots because you elect black leadership. So let's hear. In 1967, Dr. King was here in West Philadelphia at Barrett Junior High School, and he had something to say to the young people and to those in attendance.
If it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Leontine Price sings before the Metropolitan Opera. And sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine on the top of the hill, be a scrub in the valley. But be the best little scrub on the side of the rill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. For it isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. This is the most important and crucial period of your lives, for what you do now and what you decide now at this age may well determine which way your life shall go. And the question is whether you have a proper, a solid, and a sound blueprint. And I want to suggest some of the things that should be in your life's blueprint. Number one in your life's blueprint should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your own worth, and your own somebodiness. Don't allow anybody to make you feel that you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth. And always feel that your life has ultimate significance. Secondly, in your life's blueprint, you must have as a basic principle the determination to achieve excellence.
in your various fields of endeavor. You're going to be deciding as the days and the years unfold what you will do in life, what your life's work will be. Once you discover what it will be, set out to do it and to do it well. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. For it isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. Finally, in your life's blueprint, must be a commitment to the eternal principles of beauty, love, and justice. Well, life for none of us has been a crystal star, but we must keep moving. We must keep going. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl, but by all means, keep moving.
That I have in my hands, trying so hard to carry out your plan. But this world is so cold, living in a dry land. You made us the salt of the earth, so are we so bland? In need of seasoning and an outpouring of more of you. I just want to help, so tell me what to do. I know that many are called, but I want to be chosen. There's a big difference. It's not about recognition. Choose me, use me. I know on the outside I don't look like much, but with your touch I'll be better. You choose me, Lord, send me.
Welcome back to Tony Tanner here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. Our topic today is a day on, not a day off. What does that mean? Has progress been made in our country? You know, as I sat here and listened to Dr. King's speech at Barrett Junior High School here in Philadelphia, 1967, 55 years ago. I'm not mistaken. And he said something about being the best. He said the three things is to have deep belief, determination to achieve excellence, and three, commitment to beauty, love, and justice. What is missing today in our society is justice. If we had staunch, if we had our chief law enforcement officers doing their jobs, and I'm talking about our district attorneys, our attorney generals, our justices, we could cut back on some of the upticks all across the country, murder, carjackings. People want to use the glorified word and call it homicide. No, it's murder. Thievery. You know, when you have people going in and stealing whole ATM machines, that's a problem. And don't say that it's not, because we still have an abundance of jobs, but we have crippled our country and our available workforce by throwing more money, more money, more money. I stand with Senator Manchin. This is just Randall Jefferson talking. And I stand with Senator Sim. because we cannot fix problems by always saying, let's give them $100, $100 million here, those 50. Let's talk with the infrastructure. Let's go back into the schools and let's educate the children. And I'm not saying all children are not being educated. I'm not saying all schools are not educated. But majority, when you, I'm appalled, and there was no outrage. You cannot compare Dr. Height, Overbrook High School, with Lower Merion, and then call for more money. To the city of Philadelphia, where is that extra money? Where is that liquor by the drink tax? Where is the money from the Philadelphia Parking Authority? Where is the money that's being raised individually? Where is the money that's coming from the University of Pennsylvania? And why are you subjecting children to the problems? Why are you sending children, and you said it when COVID first started, to parking lots? No, we're not doing what Dr. King has said. A lot of you have been called. But for me, I want to be chosen. And I want to work with people that are chosen and not called, because they do not have others in their heart. Before I came to the station today, I was out with Miss Erica Stewart of Social Impact Cafe, and we were picking up food. And when we leave here today, we're going to go and finish what we need, because we see there's a need in our communities. We've picked up books because we need to have our children put down the computers, put down the phones, and start to read. We need the pressure to our unions. We need real apprenticeships, because the only way our children will make it and live by that blueprint that Dr. King stated here in Philadelphia in 1967 is through our educational system. And right now we're failing our children. And it also brought up to mind something that I lived by when I was younger and still do. And we used to repeat it all the time. Good, better, best. Never rest until good is better and better is best. Because you want to strive to be the best in whatever you do. With that, I'm going to bring on a clip from our students who had the opportunity. Our student show is called Freedom Voices. And in January of 2019, they had the opportunity. They gave myself and Maurice Goodman a task, because they wanted to interview Ambassador Andy Young, who was a close friend of Dr. Martin Luther King and who was there when he died. And I want to bring this in, and I want you to hear these young people, because they got to talk to someone on the phone. When they gave us that task, I said, looked at Maurice, and Maurice looked at me. I said, nothing beats a trial but a failure. And we reached out to Ambassador Young, and his people said, he said, yes, we'll give him a half hour. He ended up doing the whole show. And I want you to hear Ambassador Andrew Jackson Young speak to the Freedom Voices of St. James School, located here at 32nd and Clearfield Street.
Can you give us some information about the day Dr. King was assassinated?
Well, it was a day that he was, I was in court trying to get permission for us to parade and march the next day. And I got the permission, and he was back resting at the hotel, and his brother and a lot of his friends started coming in. And so when I got back, he was really happy. And I hadn't seen him that happy in a long time. And I told him that we won the case and we had the right to march. And then he started picking on me, a clown, and saying, but I've been here waiting all day and nobody would tell me what happened. And I said, I was in the courtroom. He said, well, why didn't you call? I said, you know, we didn't have cell phones back then. Mm-hmm. And I said, I didn't even know whether it was a phone call phone in the federal court. And I said, I couldn't get up and leave. I was on the witness stand. And he was just feeling very happy and crazy. And he picked up a pillow, and he whopped me upside the head with it. And I said, what is the matter with you? And so I picked up a pillow and threw it back at him.
Wow.
And so we were acting like a bunch of kids. And he was happy, and I was happy, because we thought we were going to be leading the march the next morning. Then somebody knocked on the door and said, we better get ready for dinner, because we had to go out to dinner at 6 o'clock. And so he left the room downstairs and went up to his room to put on a shirt and tie. And when he came out, while he was standing on the platform, a shot rang out. And when I ran up there, I realized that it had shot him right in the throat, and it had severed his spinal cord. So I don't think he even felt it. He probably didn't even hear the shot, because the bullet travels faster than sound.
Yes.
In a way, it was a very peaceful death. And I got mad. But I didn't get mad with the shooter. I got mad that I didn't get shot, because I said, you go into heaven and leave us in hell. You know? Take us with you. And, you know, and I realized that he had not had almost a single vacation since 1955.
Wow.
When he became president of the Montgomery Improvement Association. He was only 26 years old. And here he was in 1968, just 39 years old. But he worked, you know, 20 hours every day for all that whole period of time. And he was exhausted. In fact, he was beginning to, you know, well, he was too young to die, but in a way, he had lived more and done more for humanity in 39 years than most anybody else had ever done, you know, in 75 or 80 years.
Mm. Mm. Wow. You know, those are powerful words, and that was a powerful description on what happened on April 4th, 1968, when Martin Luther King was assassinated. Those were the words of Ambassador Andrew Young as he spoke to the students of the Freedom Voices of St. James School, located here in Philadelphia. We are hoping to have their show back. You know, COVID has put them a little aside right now, but we're working to bring their show back. And these are young people that are trying to learn and follow in the footsteps of Dr. King. You know, and inquisitive. But if you would like to hear that whole show, you can go to the Tone and Tenor SoundCloud. It is show number 253. The date is 1-18-19. The title of the show is Life and Legacy of MLK Jr. How do we continue to dream? Why, you know, I can sit here and I can phrase the titles of these shows every year differently, but it boils back down to the same thing. What have we done differently in 2021, 2020, or a decade ago, or 2 decades ago, or 3 decades ago? Yes, we had a Black president, African-American president. yes, we have more African Americans in the boardrooms, in our corporations, in leadership positions, but are they reaching back and giving people a hand up? People aren't looking for handouts. People are looking for that ability to give back, to serve, and to continue to what they, I guess you would want to call it the American dream, whatever that is. But you have to think about this. The United States of America, we're still fighting over voter rights. People are getting mad at one another. We have the highest rate of murders going on in our country, in our urban cities. Our infrastructures are falling apart. Our leadership is being taken to task by the millennials because it's shut up, wait your turn. And they're rebelling. Because this strong arm that these folks have on our society and on our people is holding them back. I've said this before, and I say it again. What kind of leader are you? Are you going to be the one that has a dream and fulfill the dream? Are you going to be the best that you could be? Or are you going to be that glad handler photo op leader that makes the backroom deals and forget about the rest of your neighborhoods? Are you going to be a leader and a servant? Because see, Martin Luther King Day of Service, because it's his birthday, is not just one day. Yes, everybody, there's going to be all kinds of TV cameras, all kinds of photo ops, all kinds of this, running from place to place. But at the end of the day, will you be a servant tomorrow? Or will you wait till next year this time so you can get a pretty little T-shirt while people still suffer? Will you be selling out your neighborhoods? Will our justice system begin to do what needs to be done? Will our politicians learn how to play in the sandbox and not do the Texas two-step? It's not about color. That's what it shouldn't be about. If we believe that this country is equal and everyone has the same rights, then damn it, let's start treating people the same way. To our politicians, all of you will be trying to run for something here, there, and everywhere. If you're not going to do the job and you're just in it, you may be called, but were you chosen? I want to be chosen. What about you? And I want to be chosen by the people, not by foreign money. That's the only way. And until then, Dr. King's dream will not become a reality. You know, we can have the theatrics, and, you know, we can, right now there's an announcement that in the state of Pennsylvania, Mr. Josh Shapiro, who is the attorney general, was going to run for the governor. And he's chosen a young black male from the west side of the state. Something never happened for lieutenant governor to work with them. This is an appeasement. And I'm not knocking the guy, but check out the credentials of who's running. Think about this. Stacey Abrams, who almost single-handedly changed Georgia from red to blue, did not attend the president's photo op in Atlanta selling the civil rights bills. A lot of leadership did not attend it. Because, as they said, we are tired of hearing words. It's time for action. If you guys out there do want to hear words, take action and fire these people by voting them out. Elections are coming. We can live Dr. King's dream. We can have the best. We can have that deep belief, determination to achieve excellence. And we have to have that commitment to beauty, love, and justice. And love does not just have to mean your spouse or your partner. That's loving your neighbor, loving thyself. Because if you don't love yourself first, you can't love anyone else. You know, I like doing these shows. Some of the guests that we have, you may see it out. We have a book. Dion Rebrelli was with Dr. King. He was a guest on his show. He was a justice. Dr. King, Statue of Dr. King, Pictorial of Dr. King, Freedom Riders. You know, you have to remember John Lewis. We have to have history. You have to know your past to come to the present to know your future. And until we put all that together, we're still going to be stagnated, looking for the crumbs and not the whole piece of pie. I'd like to thank our engineers. I'd like to thank Team Tone and Tenor. I'd like to thank Dr. King for allowing me to do what we do here every week. Because otherwise, without the death, without the thousands of deaths and people that have been watching Women in the Movement about Emmett Till, look at that. Look at that. And think of how blessed we are. But we have a long way to go, ladies and gentlemen. And to our leadership, we'll be back on you next week. We will be talking about bills. We will be talking about infrastructure. And we'll be talking about what needs to be done. With that said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Martin Luther King. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. That last part. But where he stands at times of challenges and controversy. Martin Luther King. I'm Randall Jefferson. Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor by Partisan Voice of the People here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. And remember, Martin Luther King died for all of us, no matter what color, race, creed, or color, so that we could all be equal one day.